I really want to see us go back. And NASA's taken the first step. It's building the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, which is going to launch in 2008. It's going to go to the moon. It's going to map the moon down to extremely high resolution, half a meter, 18-inch resolution on one of its cameras, I believe is what it is. And it's going to be really amazing. And I really do want to see humans going back to the moon. I've been reading books on what the moon can do for us, what the privatization of space can do, what NASA can do to help private companies like SpaceX and Burt Rutan's company, you know, get into space. And it seems like even if some of the pie-in-the-sky stuff doesn't work, like they talk about cheap nuclear fusion and things like that, it is possible to mine the moon and to create satellites. And in many ways, it's almost easier to go to the moon, build a colony, and then create solar-powered satellites and launch them into orbit around the Earth from the moon than it would be just to build them on the Earth and launch them in orbit in the first place.
Well, that's true. And eventually we'll probably do that. But, I mean, right now, I'm not sure the technology's there for that, is it?
We can't have the technology until we get pushed. You know, you don't have the technology to mine the lunar surface and get what you need out of it because we're not there.
Well, that's true. And if you look at the computers of the, you know, 60s and compare them to computers of today, look at the difference because we allow technology to grow.
That's right. And, I mean, even the computers, which were relatively simple, that guided the astronauts to the moon, were still huge. And they kept them back on Earth. They were so big they couldn't fit them on the rocket. So, they would use the calculations on Earth and then beam and send the results to the astronauts. And nowadays you can do that sort of thing on your Palm Pilot. And so, or your BlackBerry or whatever it is the kids these days are using. Probably an iPod has more memory in it than...
Well, I'll tell you what's so strange, though, Philip. You know we've been to the moon. I know we've been to the moon. We're the first on the moon. We won the contest against the Russians, against the Soviets at the time. Now, there's another competitor, and it's the Chinese. And what's so bizarre is it's like a different contest all over again, because there is that possibility that they could get to the moon before we can in this latest battle.
It's possible. Now, the Chinese, their space program is pretty young. It hasn't had a whole lot of successes yet. I mean, they just haven't had that many launches. And it's certainly possible that they could get to the moon in roughly 10 years. You know, when John Kennedy said, we're going to go to the moon in 1961, I believe he made that
statement. 61, he made the statement, and we got there in 69.
That's right. We hadn't even had an astronaut in a suborbital flight yet. And so it seemed like, as I recall, I believe that's correct, Alan Shepard's flight wasn't until a couple of years later. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed insanity to think that we were going to go to the moon. And yet, look, July 20th, 1969, bang, Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon. So it's entirely feasible that you can do this in under a decade. But I think to do it, you'd have to have sort of the same plan the United States did, which was, you know, do this at all costs, just get there. The goal of the Apollo program was really to get there. And so once we got there, you know, there wasn't really a whole lot we could do. They studied the lunar surface, and there was a tremendous amount of science that we wound up getting out of that those missions, don't get me wrong, but the Apollo missions weren't sustainable. It cost too much money every launch, and it was just there's no way you can set up a colony using the Apollo blueprints. It's what a lot of the private space guys call flags and footprints. That's all they could do was plant a flag and make their footprints and leave. We need to do something that's more sustainable, and I think NASA's trying to do that. I'm not a NASA insider. I have some friends who work there, of course, but I don't work for NASA, and so I don't know what's going on inside of there. I get the sense that nobody wants to talk about a new space race. And I don't know why. It seems like, you know, if we start screaming, the Chinese are going to the moon, it might get funded. But I get the impression that NASA doesn't want to do that. Maybe they don't want to race to the moon because in the end it's not sustainable. It would just be like Apollo. It would cost a lot of money. We'd get there, and then it would be over again. And I'd hate to see that happen.
There's no question that we are moving toward this one world government, whether we like it or not. But the world is heading in that direction. Why aren't we simply teaming up with the Europeans, who have a pretty good space agency, get together with the technology, and get a man on the moon again, create a European-American base or a united front, and cut the costs down dramatically? I don't understand the stupidity why we're not doing that.
Well, the answer is typical. It's politics. When you look at what NASA does, it does partner with a lot of space agencies. I'm on a project called the Gamma Ray Large Area Space Telescope, or GLAST, and it has, I think, 7 different countries involved with it.
Everybody's paying money to it equally, or is it?
No, not equally. In fact, it's a joint project between NASA and the Department of Energy. But the Italians and the French and the Japanese, I'm not even sure who else is involved with it. I can never remember. But there are all these different countries involved with it. The International Space Station has a Japanese section, a Russian section. And, in fact, the Dawn mission, D-A-W-N, like Sunrise, to go to 2 asteroids, also had a heavy European component. NASA canceled that and really ticked off a lot of Europeans because of that. The problem right now is that some European scientists don't consider NASA to be reliable because they keep backing, well, the shuttle's not reliable.
The shuttle
clearly.
Did it right there, sure.
And then
right.
NASA canceled this mission that had European components in it. And, you know, that, as you can understand, they get a little ticked off. And so NASA's getting smacked around a little bit here, and they're hopefully, there's been a lot of troubles. I know that some of your guests, Bart Sobrell is one of them, and there are others who say that I'm just a lackey for NASA, just paid by them. This is not true, and anybody who reads my blog, as a matter of fact, I was very careful to put up on that Coast to Coast page I put up on my website tonight. If you go to badastronomy.com, there's a link at the top that goes to Coast to Coast. I have several entries in my blog where I'm putting NASA's feet to the fire, saying you cannot cut back on science. You can't do some of the stuff you're doing. And so part of the problem is, you know, NASA does, in fact, partner with the European Space Agency and the Japanese Space Agency and these other ones, but it's just not that simple. Getting together a big project like this is extremely difficult.